Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Some Republicans are still searching for someone to run against Donald Trump, the likely Republican Party nominee, who, as the last Republican in the race, won primaries in West Virginia and Nebraska last night. On Capitol Hill yesterday, reporters asked Trump's former rival Ted Cruz whether he's interested in a third-party run.
Are you ruling out the possibility of a third party?
I have no interest in a third party.
So what are the chances of a third party or independent candidate run this year? Let's bring in Sarah Rozier, Federal Desk Editor for Ballotpedia. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. And an independent candidate needs to get a large number of signatures to qualify for the ballot in each state. That takes time and money. Is there still time?
There is a small window still left, but it's closing very, very quickly.
How long is the time that we're looking at?
Well, Texas has already technically had its filing deadline pass for independent candidates on Monday, this 2 days ago. So we're looking at now a few filing deadlines still to come in June. But largely, it takes a strong organization in every state to pull all these required signatures. So we have a few weeks here where candidates can get organized, but a lot of upcoming deadlines and a lot of signatures to collect in the meantime.
When it comes to Texas's deadline, there has been talk that that could be challenged in court. Is that true?
There is. We saw the case Anderson versus Celebrezze in 83. It was decided by the Supreme Court. And that had filing deadlines in mid-March that were overturned, including Ohio's, the big one that they were challenging. And John Anderson was an independent candidate in 1980, and he did manage to get on all 50 ballots by challenging these early filing deadlines. So we have seen this precedent, but it would be a hassle for any candidate.
But you're saying Anderson got on all the ballots in 1980, even though it wasn't decided by the Supreme Court until 3 years later.
It had gone through the earlier courts, so he was legally allowed to get on the ballots for that election.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of John Anderson, who ran in 1980. Here he is in a debate back then.
Let me tell you that I, first of all, oppose an election year tax cut. Whether it is the 10% across-the-board tax cut promised to the taxpayers by my opponent in this debate tonight, or whether it is the $27.5 billion tax cut promised on the 20th of August by President Carter.
Now, Anderson was a moderate Republican, even though he ran as an independent against Ronald Reagan. What was notable about his run for the presidency?
Well, it is significant that he was on all 50 ballots, especially for an independent, unaffiliated candidate. For much of election history, we see that a lot of the smaller third-party candidates, or even, you know, the Libertarian and Green Party, they almost have a leg up because they have this party organizing system behind them. And I think it's 17 states where if you belong to one of these third parties, be it Libertarian, Green, Reform, you can have a quick fast track to get on the ballot. So if you do become the Green Party nominee, Jill Stein will already have the advantage of being on 17 ballots because the state recognizes the party.
But a third party candidate has never won the presidency.
Correct.
Ross Perot famously ran as an independent in 1992 and as a Reform Party candidate in 1996. He's probably the one that people are looking at as they think about independent candidates this time around, because the Republicans look back at those elections and say, well, if it hadn't been for Ross Perot, we wouldn't have had the Clinton presidency.
Right. He won 19% of the vote. But one thing to keep in mind is while we do view that candidacy as successful looking back, he hadn't won a single electoral vote. So to go back to the candidate who has most recently actually pulled electoral votes, you'd have to go all the way back to George Wallace's campaign in 1968, where he did pull some southern state electoral votes.
What about the Libertarian Party? In 2012, it was on the ballot in 48 states. Is it likely to have all 50 states this year?
They are predicting that they will be on all 50 ballots. So that will be interesting, especially under this current context that we have, where we see a lot of the what I call conservatarians, who may be members of the Republican Party, but they are dissatisfied with their nominee and or presumptive nominee in Donald Trump, they are looking to the Libertarian Party. So if they are on all 50 ballots, they could pull a considerable number of votes from Mr. Trump.
And they are holding their convention at the end of May. Gary Johnson, the former Republican governor of New Mexico, is a leading candidate. He is in favor of things like federally legalizing marijuana. Let's listen to him.
Platform of a libertarian with a broad brushstroke. Fiscally conservative, socially liberal. Government's too big. It spends too much. It taxes too much. It takes away my individual freedom and liberty.
Is it likely that Gary Johnson is going to be a major force in this election?
You know, one thing that's interesting is there are three top contenders for the Libertarian nomination, and they all are bringing a different flair, I guess you could call it, to the party this year. So not only is Gary Johnson running again, which he did in 2012, but we do have McAfee, the computer virus guy, who has a lot of name recognition. And we also have a young man named Austin Peterson, who's a political commentator, who seems to be more of a constitutional pro-life libertarian. It could be an interesting convention, depending on if any Republicans do defect and become, you know, members of the Libertarian Party in advance of the convention at the state conventions.
What about the Reform Party this year? This is the party that Pat Buchanan ran as a candidate for in 2000. Here's Buchanan.
I have heard, and many of you have heard that taunt in our various parties. Don't worry about those people. They have nowhere else to go. Well, guess what? We've got somewhere else to go. We've got a home of our own.
Conservative William Kristol is in favor of finding a Reform Party candidate running against Trump. Who might that be? And would they be on the ballots in all 50 states?
Kristol has been touting that. I think Buchanan was only on 47 ballots. So we'll see what happens there. What is interesting is you do have the dynamic of the Kristol wing of the Republican Party, the more neoconservatives, the Bushes, the Romneys. They are in the quote-unquote never Trump group. But then you also have the Justin Amash, Ben Sasse, more, again, constitutional conservative types. And I don't know if they're going to be able to find a candidate that bridges that gap between the two. And it's an increasing divide between those factions of the party.
And on the left, what about the Green Party? You mentioned Jill Stein. Ralph Nader ran as a Green Party candidate in 2000, and many Democrats fault him for splitting the Democratic Party vote against Al Gore in that very tight election. Here's Nader back then.
Over the past 20 years, big business has increasingly dominated our political economy. And this control by the corporate government over our political government is creating a widening democracy gap.
Might the Green Party be a factor for Democrats this year?
Yes. The news has been focusing on the anti-Trump feelings in the country, but there is also going to be that in a very big way on the Democratic side, even in April. And again, Mr. Sanders is still running. But in April, 25% of Bernie Sanders supporters said that they will not support Hillary in November. So this is going to be an increasingly dissatisfied electorate. You know, as candidates stay in longer, a lot of times their supporters become more entrenched with their particular candidate. So we could see that number increasing for the Democratic side as well. And there has been, if you look at social media or talk to some of the really staunch Bernie Sanders supporters, Jill Stein could be a factor this year.
And by the way, I should point out that back in 2008, of course, many Hillary Clinton supporters said that they would not support Barack Obama. And it looks like a lot of them did in the end. But what about the idea that there could be a third party candidate that's not on the ballot in all 50 states, but is on in enough states and wins in enough states to divide the vote so that no candidate in the general election wins the required 270 votes in the Electoral College? In which case the House of Representatives would decide who the president is. Is that a possibility, Sarah?
It could be. Now, if it is, and if we do come across a situation like that, it will be interesting to see some of the senators and some of the members of House of Representatives who may be against Trump and see how they do vote when it comes down to choosing between Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. That's where the rubber will meet the road for those members of Congress.
And when you say the senators would pick the vice president, the House of Representatives would pick the president. I don't think we're going to get there, but we'll see. You never know at this election. Sarah Rozier of Ballotpedia, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And let us know if you're considering an independent candidate or a third-party candidate this time around. You can weigh in at hereandnow.org.